Friends, this chapter is pertaining to the regulatory matters and the investigating authorities. You will be surprised that why this particular chapter is introduced in the branch banking and role of bank branch managers. My answer to your question is, while doing the day-to-day operations, there may be many mistakes happens, knowingly or unknowingly. If the customer is well introduced, KYC compliant, with proper due diligence, then everything will be fine. But if any intentional commitment or intentional misappropriation of the funds which are routed through the banking channel or received through the banking channel and which is not exactly the permitted transactions, then in that case, customer may not be in position to attend the desired goal when it is noticed by the banking community. This matter is very serious. Under the circumstances, the first point of contact is the branch manager. Any regulatory authorities, if they came to notice that certain customers are committed certain frauds or bribery or maybe certain money laundering activities they have undertaken, and they came to know that money is routed through the particular branch, then in that branch customer, it is obvious that in that branch the customer is maintaining the account. And more details about the account, behavior, amount, and so many other factors, who is introducer, name of the person, name of the entity, all these things needs to be provided to the investigating authorities. And it is a primary responsibility of the branch. And branch means nothing but a branch manager, because the sensitive items are always to be looked into by the branch manager, is by its moral authority or it may be implied authority which is posed by the bank on him. So under the circumstances, it is very essential for the branch manager to get well acquainted with the regulatory matters also, and also some of the investigating authorities' names, addresses, and where certain kind of complaints in respect of the fraud, forgery, etc. are to be addressed, that he must know. And that's the reason why this particular chapter is introduced in your syllabus of branch banking and the role of bank branch managers. Let us understand what are the regulatory matters normally come across. It is only indicative what I am covered in this particular presentation and the chapter 2. But there are many areas where the unwarranted things may happen. So let us start with this regulatory matters. As I said, the objective is to understand what is the fraud, then what are the tax crimes that customers are committing. Bribery and corruption may happen. Many times insider trading also may happen in the stock exchange. And other regulatory acts also we have to understand. Whistleblowing policy also need to be looked into, and details of law enforcing authorities at the end of the chapter I am providing for better understanding or to note the contact details. While handling the day-to-day undertaking or day-to-day activities, the branch managers also come across with the regulatory matters. Many times branch receives the notices from the court, maybe enforcement directorate, which is called as ED, Directorate of Revenue Intelligence, that is DRI, CBI, Central Bureau of Investigation, EOW, Economic Office Wing, Reserve Bank of India, etc., and other regulatory authorities. When it comes to the notice of the branch manager, he cannot sidetrack such kind of notices. He has to act very promptly and respond and acknowledge such kind of notices. Time-bound action is definitely expected, because in the notice itself it is mentioned that what is expected by the branch to do, and branch means it is a branch manager to do, may be providing the account opening details, account opening forms, statement of account, and so many other things may be asked within particular time period. If you are unable to make such kind of commitment to provide such documents within that given time, you may seek the additional time by writing to them while acknowledging the letter itself. Let us understand some of the brief outline of the nature of the transactions, irregularities, and the role of authorities conducting the inquiries under the provisions of different laws, which are maybe ED, DRI, CBI, EOW, and RBI. First one is a fraud, which is very sensitive item as far as the branch is concerned. Any customer commits the fraud, then who is the authority to whom the fraud is required to be reported? Because it is a mandatory requirement. Once it is noticed that fraud is committed, definitely it has to be escalated to the higher authorities of the bank first, and thereafter to the respective or concerned authorities. The fraud, as its name indicates, that something is not going good way. So the regulatory provision for the fraud is Central Bureau of Investigation, always Central Bureau of Investigation, depending upon the amount, is investigating the frauds. But other regulatory provisions are very much interesting and very much important to understand. You know that India has a quasi-federal political structure comprising of 28 states and 7 centrally administered union territories. So 35 subdivided into countries, divided into 35 subdivisions, which comprises of 28 states and 7 union territories. And each state establishes and maintains its own police force. Investigations are normally handled by the police force in case of fraud and of the state where the crime was committed, the place where actually the crime was committed. The central government has established Central Investigation Agency, which is called as CBI, that is Central Bureau of Investigation. CBI investigates and prosecutes the cases of serious frauds or cheating that may have a ramification in more than one state. So in more than one state, if the fraud happens, then in that case, the Central Bureau of Investigation, that is CBI, is taking call for investigating these frauds. The central government, under the Department of the Revenue, has set up the various agencies to fight the economic crimes, and some of the significant areas are, some of the significant departments are: one, Central Economic Intelligence Bureau for Economic Offenses and Implementation of the Conservation of Foreign Exchange and Prevention of Smuggling Activities, popularly known as COFEPOSA. Then Directorate of Enforcement, that is DRI, for the foreign exchange related matters and money laundering offenses, they are investigating. CBI in narcotics, which investigating the matters relating to the drug related offenses. Fourth is Director General of Anti-Evasion, that is Central Excise Department. Excise related matters, they are investigating the frauds in that. Director General of Revenue Intelligence, that is DRI, who is investigating the matters relating to the customs fraud. excise and service tax related offenses are investigated by this agency, that is DRI. Then Securities and Exchange Board of India, that is SEBI. This was established in 12th April 1992 and under the Securities and Exchange Board of India Act 1992. This investigates the fraud in respect of the share market and the securities which are traded on the share markets. So SEBI is responsible for that. Under the fraud, let us understand what are the offenses that are created, or the offenses which are done by the customers for the and for which these agencies require some more details from the branches. The offenses in respect of the fraud, particularly relating to business or corporate fraud, which includes the insider trading also, and money laundering fraud and misrepresentation related to the sale of securities, forgery, falsification of account, dishonest misappropriation of the property, criminal breach of the trust, cheating and tax crimes. All this covers under the offenses. These are the offenses. If nothing is regular, then either it may fit into any one kind of this. Let us these offenses try to understand in a different traits, such as fraud and misrepresentation related with the sale of securities. Sale of securities means it may be any security. It may be selling and dealing with the securities, that is stock exchange, maybe equities, maybe bonds, mutual funds, etc. This includes the offenses such as buying and selling and dealing in the securities fraudulently, or manipulation or deception. These are covered under the SEBI Act, then Securities and Exchange Board of India rules. Another one is forgery. Forgery is defined under the Penal Code, Section 463. As making any false document, creation of the false document, or false electronic record, or part of the document or electronic record with intention to either cause the damage or injury to the public or to any person. And second one is to support any claim or title, or to care, or to cause any person a part with the property, or to enter into any express or implied contract with intent to commit the fraud. Falsification of account. Section 477A, Penal Code. An employee is guilty of falsification of accounts if he willfully and with other intention to defraud either destroys or falsifies any books, electronic record, paper, writing, valuable security or account that belongs to or is in the possession of any employer, or has been deceived by him on behalf of his employer. Employers keeps the books and the records. If any employee within the organization fraudulently creates or misappropriates the record, then it comes under the falsification of the record or account. Willfully and with the intent to defraud, makes or facilitates the making of any false entry into, or omits or alters or facilitates any omission or alteration of any matter or any material, particularly from in or any such document. So any changes, if the employees make to the employer's record, which is kept on behalf of somebody, that is customer that comes under the falsification of account. Third one is dishonest misappropriation of the property, which is covered under section 403 of the Penal Code. When a person commits the offense of dishonest misappropriation of the property, and if he dishonestly misappropriates or convert to his own use any movable property, then in that case, this will be act of dishonest misappropriation of the property. Another one is a criminal breach of trust, which is covered under section 405 of the Indian Penal Act or Indian Penal Code, IPC. Criminal breach of the trust is when a person who is entrusted with the property or any dominion over the property is dishonestly misappropriating, converting the property into his own use, or dishonestly using and disposing of that property in violation of direction which law or the legal contract, which is a violation of legal contract. In that case, that kind of crime is covered under criminal breach of trust. Next one is a cheating. It is also, cheating is also seen by the law very seriously under section 415 of the Indian Penal Code. And this offense consists of deceiving, cheating to any person and to any person fraudulently or dishonestly, including the deceived person, cheated person, to deliver the property to a person or to allow a person to retain the property. Intentionally inducting and deceiving the people or person to do or omit or to do anything that he would not do or commit if he were not so deceived, and that causes or is likely to cause the damage to harm to that person in body, mind, reputation or the property. That means cheating by any way, it may be property, it may be intention, it may be retention, or it may be sale off of the property. That is covered under section 415 of the Indian Penal Code and under the broad title of cheating that can be covered. Now coming to the tax crimes. In taxes also, many people are evading the taxes. And that is the area where the black money is mopping up. And those kind of money, if it is circulated through the banking channel, then it is called a tax crime. There are various tax crimes, such as tax evasion, smuggling, custom duty evasion, value-added tax, that is VAT, and the taxes and the tax fraud, any other tax which is fraudulently not paid, which is not paid, so it amounts to a fraud. There are various regulatory authorities or laws for different kind of the tax frauds. Income Tax Act 1962, Customs Act 1962, Central Sales Tax 1956, Central Excise Act 1944. These offenses requires a deliberate act by accused rather than act of negligence. It cannot happen negligently. Intentionally, if anything is done, it will be covered under these acts. The company, for conduct of its business, may be guilty of an offense committed by the company. Either the offense was committed without his knowledge, or he is exercised all the due diligence to prevent the commission of the offense. In case of enforcement, the CBI, who enforces? Now, who has the right to enforce the investigation? The CBI derives its legal powers of investigation from Delhi Special Police Establishment Act 1946. Under the Companies Act 1956, the central government can inspect the books of accounts of the company, direct special audit, or order the investigation and launch the prosecution of any offences in respect of the tax tax committed by any person. SEBI has the powers of the civil court, such as ordering the discovery and production of the books of account, summoning to the enforcing and attendance of the person and examining the inspection of books, registers and other documents, and issuing commission to the examination of witness and the whatever the documents are required under which the tax crime is committed. Who is the authority for the sanction? Civil or administrative proceedings are the sanction. Civil sanction can include the fines and order to pay a compensation or disqualification from any organization. Fraudulent and unfair trade practices relating to the securities are covered under this tax crime also. When the higher of either a fine of Indian rupees 250 million or three times of amount of the profit made out of such practices, that is the penalty what can be placed on the person who has committed the tax evasion or the fraud. For forgery, there is a provision of 2 years imprisonment or a fine. For falsification of account, change in the accounting structure, 7 years imprisonment, jail, that is, or fine that may be decided by the court. And dishonest misappropriation of the property, 2 years imprisonment and or fine, either singly or both, it can be fine. So, these are the provisions for the penalties to be levied if it is proved that unfair practices are undertaken by the customer or by the person. When criminal breach of trust is undertaken, then 3 years imprisonment and fine is the provision for such kind of offenses. In case of cheating, simple case of cheating are punishable with 1 year imprisonment and the fine. Cheating accompanied with the delivery of the property or destruction of the valuable security is punishable by 7 years imprisonment. So, in the minds of the people, these areas where they are committing unnecessary the problem for themselves, the law has made a very much provision to penalize them. Now, let us understand a little bit about bribery and corruption. The Prevention of Corruption Act 1998 covers the bribery and the corruption. This is the central government law which is enacted by the parliament to combat the corruption and the bribery among the public servants. However, there is no change in reduction in number of bribes and the corruptions. Under this act, there is a presumption that a public servant or a person expecting to be a public servant who accept or obtains or agree or to attempt to obtain from any person any recompense as motive or reward for doing the forbearing to do any official act or for showing the favor or disfavor is guilty of the crime for taking the bribe. If these activities are undertaken by any person, then in that case, that public servant will be considered to have taken the bribery and undertaken the act of corruption. Public service rule, what it says, these are applicable to the various categories of the public servants. They prescribe a code of conduct to be observed by the public servants and outline the rules for pertaining to, among the other things, accepting the gift and hospitality also. Beyond certain amount, if the public servant is accepting the gift, that also amounts to a corruption or a bribery. The Denami Transaction Act, which was put in place in 1998, a Denami transaction is a transaction under which a false name of identity is given. The act, this particular Denami Act, prohibits any Denami transactions except when the person purchases the property in his wife's or unmarried daughter's name. This act was necessary, a Benami real estate purchase where the historically part of his law of India and other legislation includes prevention of bribery, foreign public officials and officials of public international organization bill, which was came into existence in the year 2011. Remember, as far as the branch managers are concerned, while opening the account, proper KYC, if it is not observed, then in that case, there are chances of opening the Benami account. The person who is not actually the beneficial owner of the account, some different name he is giving and opening the account. Such kind of accounts are called as a Benami account. And funds are routed through that account. So this kind of act is a Benami Act, or it is covered under the Benami Transaction Prohibition Act 1988. The Citizens Ombudsman Bill 2011 was also passed, and the three main regulators which are responsible for inquiring, the investigating and prosecuting corruption cases, which consist of, one is Central Vigilance Commission, that is CVC, then CBI, Central Bureau of Investigation, and Anti-Corruption Bureau of each state, that is called ACB. These three activities, these three are covered under the, they are investigating, responsible for investigating and prosecuting the corruption cases.